Being a park ranger was supposed to be peaceful. Quiet days spent wandering trails, helping lost hikers, and enjoying nature. But this forest is different. It's not on any official map. Its name doesn't appear in any guidebook. When the job offer came, the instructions were clear. Don't talk about the forest to outsiders. Don't ask questions. And above all, follow the rules. The forest isn't natural. The trees are too tall, their trunks twisted and blackened like they had been burnt but never fell. The wildlife isn't right either. Some of the animals have eyes that glow in the dark, and their calls sound almost human. When I arrived, I was given a laminated card with the rules printed on it. The ink looked fresh, as if it had been rewritten often. My supervisor instructed me to a businessman from Ashen Blade Industries, and he handed it to me with a weird smile.
If you break the rules, you won't last the night. Understood?
I nodded, but I didn't understand. Not then. The rules. 1. Stay on the marked trails between sunset and sunrise. Straying even a step into the brush is a death sentence. 2. If you hear a child crying, do not approach. Do not try to help. Cover your ears and keep walking. 3. If the forest goes silent, find the nearest tree with carvings on its trunk and stand under it until the sounds return. Do not look up. 4. Avoid the northern ridge after dark. Something watches from the tree line, and it doesn't like to be seen. 5. If you find a deer with antlers that spiral like corkscrews, do not make eye contact. If it follows you, run. 6. The lake in the center of the forest is safe during the day. After dark, stay at least 50 feet away from the shoreline. 7. If you hear your name being whispered, do not answer. It isn't who you think it is. 8. If you see lights in the trees, turn around and leave the area immediately. They're not fireflies. Day 1. The silence. When I first started, I thought the rules were a joke, a hazing ritual to freak out the newbie. But I followed them anyways. Something about the forest made me uneasy from the start. The trees towered overhead, their gnarled branches clawing at the sky. The trails were lined with moss-covered rocks and faint carvings in the bark of certain trees, symbols I didn't recognize. It was quiet during the day, almost too quiet. No birds chirped, no insects buzzed, just the faint rustle of leaves in the wind. By dusk, the air grew colder and the shadows stretched longer. I made sure to stay on the trail just as the rules said. Around 9 p.m., the forest went silent. I froze mid-step, my heart pounding in my chest. The sound of my own breathing felt deafening in the sudden stillness. I remembered the third rule: find the nearest tree with carvings and stand under it. Don't look up. I scanned the trees frantically, spotting one of the marked trunks about 20 feet away. The carvings looked older here, deeper, almost glowing faintly in the dark. I pressed my back against the tree, gripping my flashlight tightly, and waited. The silence dragged on for what felt like hours. Then, from somewhere deep in the woods, I heard it. The soft crunch of footsteps on fallen leaves. I clenched my jaw, forcing myself to stare straight ahead. Don't look up. Don't look up. The footsteps grew louder, closer, until they stopped just behind me. My breath caught in my throat as I felt a presence looming over me, heavy and suffocating. The air around me grew colder, and the faint rustle of fabric, like someone shifting their weight, sent shivers down my spine. Then, slowly, the sounds of the forest returned. Birds chirped faintly in the distance, and the wind rustled the leaves overhead. Whatever had been there was gone. I didn't move until my shift ended at dawn. Day 2. The lights. The second night started quietly enough. I stayed on the trails, keeping my flashlight low to avoid attracting attention. Around midnight, I spotted something moving through the trees ahead of me. At first, I thought it was a hiker, a figure with long limbs and a jerky, uneven gait. "Hello?" I called, breaking protocol. My voice echoed through the forest, but the figure didn't respond. I stepped closer, shining my flashlight on the figure. It stopped moving, its head tilting unnaturally to one side. Then, all at once, the forest went dark. My flashlight flickered and died, and the faint green glow of lights began to appear in the treetops. They looked like fireflies at first, small, flickering orbs of light that drifted lazily between the branches. But as they moved closer, I realized they weren't fireflies. The lights didn't flicker, they pulsed like tiny beating hearts. And they weren't random, they were coming towards me. I turned and ran, ignoring the branches that clawed at my face and arms as I sprinted down the trail. The lights followed, their faint glow growing brighter, closer. By the time I reached the ranger station, my legs were burning and my lungs felt like they were about to burst. I slammed the door shut behind me, locking it tight. The lights hovered just beyond the windows, their glows pulsating in the darkness like a warning. Every night in the forest felt worse than the last. The rules kept me alive, but they didn't make me feel safe. Something was watching me out there, lurking just beyond the edges of the trail, waiting for me to slip up. I started to notice patterns. The same symbols carved into the trees appeared near areas where the rules were most strict. The northern ridge seemed to radiate a faint hum, almost like the forest itself was alive. One night, I found a scrap of paper tucked into the drawer of my station's desk. It wasn't part of the laminated rules, but it was scrawled by the same handwriting. It read, "The rules aren't just to keep you safe. They're to keep it contained." I don't know what it is, but every time I stepped into that forest, I felt like I'm one mistake away from finding out. Day 3. The Crying Child. The third night began like the others, quiet, cold, and tense. I kept my flashlight low as I walked the marked trails, repeating the rules in my head. By now, they were burned into my memory, each one a lifetime in this strange and hostile place. It was just after 1 a.m. when I heard it. A child crying. The sound was faint at first, carried on the wind like a distant echo. But as I moved farther along the trail, it grew louder, more distinct. A high-pitched wail full of desperation and fear. I froze, every instinct screaming at me to turn around. Rule 2. If you hear a child crying, do not approach. Do not try to help. Cover your ears and keep walking. But the sound didn't feel distant anymore. It was close, so close that I could almost hear the ragged breaths between the sobs.
"Help me!"
the voice called, breaking into a sob. I clenched my fists, forcing my feet to keep moving. My heart pounded in my chest as I covered my ears and stared straight ahead.
"Please,"
the voice wailed.
"Don't leave me."
It was unbearable. Every step away felt like a betrayal. I had spent years protecting people, guiding lost hikers to safety. Ignoring this voice felt wrong, inhuman. But I kept walking. The crying continued, growing more frantic.
"Don't go,"
it screamed, the voice crackling with desperation.
"Please, it's coming for me."
My resolve faltered. I stopped, my hands slipping from my ears as the sobs turned into a frantic, pitiful whimper. Against every rule, every instinct, I turned around. The trail behind me was empty. No child, no footprints in the dirt. Just the faint green glow of the forest and the towering, twisted trees. For a moment, I thought the voice had stopped. Then I heard it again, softer now, but closer.
"Help me,"
it whispered. The sound came from the brush just off the trail. My flashlight flickered as I stepped closer, scanning the undergrowth.
"Hello?"
I called out, my voice trembling. Something moved. The bushes rustled, and a small figure emerged. A girl, no older than 8. Her face was pale, streaked with tears, and her wide, frightened eyes locked on the mine.
"Please,"
she said, her voice barely above a whisper.
"It's going to get me."
I stepped towards her, lowering my flashlight.
"You're safe now," I said. "I'll get you out of here."
Her lips trembled, and for a moment, I thought she was going to cry again. But then her face twisted into something else. A cruel, inhuman grin that stretched far too wide. Her eyes turned black, and her voice deepened into a guttural growl.
"You shouldn't have stopped."
The thing lunged at me, its movements jerky and unnatural. I stumbled back, barely managing to raise my rifle. The creature didn't scream, but the forest did. A deafening cacophony of distorted cries and howls erupted around me, reverberating through the trees. My flashlight flickered wildly, casting erratic shadows that seemed to twist and move on their own. I fired a shot, the crack of the rifle momentarily drowning out the noise. The creature flinched, its grin faltering, but it didn't stop. I turned and ran, sprinting down the trail as the sound of its uneven footsteps followed close behind. The green glow of the forest intensified, pulsating like a heartbeat, and the air grew colder with every step. I reached a marked tree and pressed my back against it, my chest heaving. The forest fell silent. I didn't dare move. My hands shook as I clutched the rifle, my eyes fixed on the trail ahead. The creature appeared at the edge of the trail, its body contorted and twitching. It stared at me with those black, empty eyes, tilting its head like it was waiting for something. The symbols on the tree began to glow faintly, their light casting strange patterns across the ground. The creature hissed, its grin twisting into a snarl, and then it turned and disappeared into the darkness. The forest remained silent for a long time after that. Day 4. The Ridge. I didn't tell my supervisor about the night's events. What was I supposed to say? That I almost died because I broke the rules? That I was too weak to ignore the sound of a crying child? The laminated card felt heavier in my pocket now, a constant reminder of my mistake. The fourth night was colder than the others, and the green glow seemed brighter, more alive. The air buzzed with static, and I felt the weight of unseen eyes following me everywhere I went. I stayed away from the northern ridge, just as the rules demanded. But the hum that radiated from that direction seemed louder tonight, almost like it was calling me. The laminated card was starting to wear around the edges, the ink smudged from how often I had pulled it out, rereading it like it might reveal some hidden wisdom. Rule 4 had been on my mind all day. Avoid the northern ridge after dark. Something watches from the tree line, and it doesn't like to be seen. But what about during the day? I spent my first few shifts carefully avoiding the ridge, keeping my distance from its looming presence. But after my encounter with the crying child, or whatever it was, I felt that the rules were deliberately withholding something. The ridge called to me in a way the rest of the forest didn't. The air seemed heavier near it, the hum deeper, resonated in my chest like a second heartbeat. I told myself it was curiosity that led me there as the sun rose on day 4. But maybe it was defiance. By midday, the ridge came into view. The trees here were different, taller, blackened like they had been scorched by fire. Their branches clawed at the sky, gnarled and twisted. The ground beneath my boots felt softer, like it had been churned up recently and patches of moss glowed faintly in the daylight. The air grew colder as I climbed, the hum growing louder with every step. When I reached the top, I stopped and scanned the tree line. The forest below stretched out endlessly, a sea of dark green and black. But something about the ridge itself felt off. The trees here stood unnaturally still, their leaves unmoving despite the faint breeze. Shadows pooled around the bases, darker and deeper than they should have been. In the center of the ridge was a clearing, empty except for a circle of stones arranged in a pattern I didn't recognize. I stepped closer. As I approached the stones, I noticed something strange. The shadows casted by the rocks didn't match their shape. They stretched long and sharp, forming jagged patterns that moved even though the stones didn't. A faint whisper tickled the edge of my hearing, too soft to make out. It came from the tree line, weaving through the hum like a thread pulling at my thoughts. "Hello?" I called out, immediately regretting it. My voice sounded small, swallowed by the stillness. The whisper stopped. For a long moment, nothing happened. The forest held its breath, and I felt the weight of unseen eyes pressing down on me. Then, from the corner of my eye, I saw it. A figure standing just beyond the tree line. It wasn't human. The figure was tall and impossibly thin, its body wrapped in what looked like layers of shadows that shifted and flickered like smoke. Its head tilted unnaturally, and though it had no face, I could feel it watching me. I froze, my breath catching in my throat. My rifle felt useless in my hands. The figure stepped forward, its movements slow and deliberate. It didn't walk so much as glide, its feet never touching the ground. I backed away, but my foot caught onto one of the stones and I stumbled into the center of the circle. The air around me changed instantly. The hum grew louder, vibrating through my bones, and the faint green glow of the forest turned a deep pulsing red. The figure stopped at the edge of the circle, its body twisting and contorting like it was testing the boundary. The whispers returned, louder now, overlapping voices that spoke words I couldn't understand. They poured into my mind, each one like a needle driving deeper into my skull. The figure raised one long shadowy arm and pointed at me. I scrambled to my feet, my heart hammering in my chest. The whispers grew louder, more insistent, and the shadows at the edge of the circle began to move, creeping towards me like living things. I ran. I didn't know where I was going, just away. The hum followed me, growing fainter with every step, but the whispers didn't stop. They clung to me, echoing in my mind like a broken record. When I cleared the base of the ridge, I collapsed against a tree, gasping for breath. The forest around me was quiet again, but the air still felt heavy, charged with static. I pulled out the laminated card, my hands shaking. The rules stared back at me, stark and unyielding. Rule 4. Avoid the northern ridge after dark. Something watches from the tree line, and it doesn't like to be seen. I had broken the rule during the day, and it still found me. That night, I couldn't bring myself to go back into the forest. I stayed in the ranger station, watching the tree line from the safety of the window. But the forest didn't forget. Around midnight, the lights in the station flickered, and the air grew cold. The whispers returned, faint at first, then louder, rising to a deafening crescendo. When I looked outside, I saw them. Shadows moving between the trees, their shapes twisting and writhing. They didn't step onto the trail, but they didn't need to. They were waiting. Waiting for me to break another rule. The whispers didn't stop. Even after the shadows vanished from the tree line and the lights in the station flickered back to normal, they lingered. Soft, overlapping voices that scratched at the edges of my thoughts. They were faint during the day, just low enough to make me question if I was imagining them. But at night, they grew louder. I couldn't sleep. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw the figure from the ridge, its elongated limbs, its faceless head tilting as though it was waiting for me to return. The weight of its gaze followed me everywhere, even in the safety of daylight. And the forest didn't feel the same. The hum was different now, sharper, angrier. The green glow that seeped through the grates at night pulsated faster, its rhythm uneven, like a heartbeat that couldn't settle. The marked trees I once found comforting me now seemed to loom over me, their carved symbols twisting into shapes I didn't recognize. It happened 3 nights ago after I broke the rule. I was patrolling the southern trail near the lake when the whispers came back, louder than ever. They weren't faint anymore. They were inside my head, burrowing into my thoughts like insects. You shouldn't have gone there. The words weren't clear at first, buried into the cacophony of voices. But as I walked, they began to take shape, repeating over and over until they drowned out everything else. You shouldn't have gone there. I froze in the middle of the trail, gripping my rifle tightly. My flashlight flickered, the beam cutting erratically through the darkness. The forest around me was silent. I turned slowly, scanning the trees. For a moment, everything seemed normal. Then I saw it, a shadow, long and thin, standing just beyond the edge of the trail. It didn't move. It didn't make a sound. But I knew it was watching me. "Stay back," I whispered, my voice trembling. The shadow tilted its head, the movement slow and deliberate. My flashlight flickered again, and in that brief moment of darkness, it was gone. The next morning, I noticed something strange. I was in the ranger station bathroom, splashing cold water on my face when I caught a glimpse of my reflection. At first, I thought it was just the shadows under my eyes, dark circles from too many sleepless nights. But when I looked closer, I saw it. A faint black mark just above my collarbone. It wasn't a bruise. It wasn't dirt. The mark was sharp and angular, like the carvings on the trees. I scrubbed at it fiercely, but it didn't budge. It didn't even hurt, if anything. It felt cold, like it wasn't part of me at all. The whispers came back that night, louder than ever. The following night, I avoided the trails completely. I stayed locked up in the ranger station, clutching my rifle like a lifeline and watching the tree line through the window. The shadows returned just after midnight. They moved slowly, gliding between the trees with the same unnatural grace as the figure on the ridge. There was more of them now, dozens, maybe more, and they were getting closer. The whispers scratched at my mind, growing louder with every passing minute. My head throbbed, and my vision blurred as the voices overlapped, repeating the same phrase over and over.
You broke the rules. You broke the rules. You broke the rules.
The shadows stopped just beyond the edge of the clearing around the station. For a moment, everything went still. Then, one by one, the lights in the station began to flicker. The temperature in the station plummeted. My breath fogged the air as I backed into the corner, gripping the rifle so tightly my hands ached. The whisper stopped abruptly, replaced by a deafening silence. And then I saw it. The shadow from the ridge. It stood in the center of the clearing, tall and darker than the others. Its faceless head tilted towards the station. The shadows around it seemed to ripple and writhe, bending towards it like they were drawn to its presence. It raised one long, jagged arm and pointed at the window. The glass began to crack, thin fractures spreading outwards like a spiderweb. I didn't wait to see what would happen next. I grabbed the laminated card from the desk and ran, bursting out of the back door and into the forest. The forest was alive. The hum was deafening, vibrating through my bones with every step. The green glow pulsed erratically, casting twisted shadows that danced across the trees. The whispers returned, screaming in my head like a thousand voices all shouting at once. Behind me, the shadows followed. I could hear them moving through the trees, their distorted shapes flickering at the edges of my vision. The figure from the ridge loomed just beyond them, its elongated limbs stretching unnaturally as it glided closer. I ran blindly, my lungs burning and my legs threatening to give out. The rules card was clenched tightly in my fist, the edges cutting into my palm. I didn't stop until I reached one of the marked trees. The tree's carvings glowed faintly as I collapsed at its base, pressing my back against the trunk. The shadows stopped just beyond the tree's glow, writhing and shifting as though they were held back by some invisible barrier. The figure from the ridge stood among them, its head tilted in that unnatural way. The whisper stopped, and the hum faded into silence. The figure raised its arm again, pointing directly at me. For a moment, I thought it would step closer. But then it lowered its arm, and the shadows began to retreat, melting back into the forest. The figure was the last to leave. It lingered at the edge of the tree's glow, its head tilting one final time before it disappeared into the darkness. When I returned to the station, the black mark on my collarbone had spread. It now stretched across my chest in jagged, angular lines, pulsing faintly with a cold green light. I didn't know what it meant, but I knew one thing for certain. The forest hadn't forgiven me, and it never would. The mark was cold, like frost had seeped into my skin. It stretched across my chest in jagged, unnatural patterns, pulsing faintly with a sickly green light. No amount of scrubbing could remove it. I tried water, soap, even a knife in a moment of desperation, but the lines remained, unyielding and unchanging. At first it seemed harmless. It didn't hurt, didn't itch or sting. But I could feel it growing, not just across my body, but inside me. I started waking up in strange places, far from the ranger station, with no memory of how I had gotten there. My thoughts were hard to hold on to, like they were slipping through my fingers. The forest was in my dreams now. Twisting trees, glowing lights, and that figure from the ridge always watching. The whispers followed me into my sleep, weaving through my mind like veins, choking out any peace I may have found. The forest became stranger after the mark appeared. The trails I'd walked 100 times didn't lead to where they should. I'd turn a corner expecting the lake and find the ridge instead. The trees seemed to move when I wasn't looking, their gnarling branches bending and twisting into shapes that resembled faces. The animals weren't the same either. The deer's antlers spiraled more sharply, their glowing eyes lingering on me longer than before. Birds perched silently on branches, their heads cocked in unnatural angles, watching. The rules still worked for now, but they felt thinner, like a thread stretched to its breaking point. I wasn't sure how much longer they were gonna protect me. One morning, my supervisor arrived unannounced at the station. His face was pale, his eyes hard. He looked at the mark on my chest without asking and nodded grimly as if he had seen it before.
"You've been touched by the forest," he said. His voice was flat, devoid of sympathy. "It happens to those who break the rules."
"What do you mean?" I asked, trying to keep the panic out of my voice. He didn't answer right away. Instead, he pulled out a fresh laminated card and slid it across the desk towards me. The rules were the same, but at the bottom, a new line had been added. 1. The marked do not leave. I stared at the words, my stomach turning. "What? What happens if I leave?" He gave me a long, measured look.
"You won't make it past the tree line."
The mark grew worse as the days passed. The green light pulsed brighter, and I started hearing the hum of the forest even when I wasn't inside it. It followed me into the station, into my thoughts. One night, I woke up standing in a clearing on the ridge, the circle of stones glowing faintly beneath my feet. I didn't remember walking there. My flashlight and rifle were gone, left behind at the station. The figure from the ridge was there, waiting just beyond the tree line.
"You're part of it now,"
it whispered, its voice like dry leaves rustling in the wind.
"You belong to us."
I ran, but the forest didn't let me go. Every path led back to the ridge, the stones brighter with every turn. The shadows followed me closer now, their shapes flickering at the edges of my vision even during the day. The animals watched me with glowing eyes, their movements eerily synchronized, like they were part of something larger. On my final night in the forest, the whispers were deafening. The hum was a roar, and the green glow pulsed like a heartbeat. The laminated rules card sat at the desk in front of me, its edges frayed from use. The words blurred and shifted, and for the first time, I saw them for what they really were. Warnings. Not just for survival, but to keep something contained. The mark on my chest burned cold, spreading across my arms and neck like vines. I could feel it pulling me, dragging me towards the ridge, towards the stones. I fought it for hours, clutching the rifle like it might anchor me, but my body wasn't mine anymore. At midnight, I stepped out of the station. The forest was alive with light, green pulsating unnaturally. Shadows twisted and danced, their shapes forming a path that led straight to the ridge. The figure was waiting in the clearing, its form larger now, more defined. The tendrils of its shadow reaching out to me as I stepped into the circle of stones. The whispers stopped. For a moment, there was nothing but silence. Then the stones began to glow brighter, and the hum grew louder, resonating through my bones. The figure tilted its head, and the mark on my chest flared with cold, searing light. My vision blurred as the ground beneath me cracked and split, a green rift opening where the stones had been. The last thing I saw before the darkness consumed me was the forest itself bending towards the rift, its trees twisting and reaching as though they were feeding it. I woke up in the forest, but it wasn't the same. The trees were darker, the sky a deep, endless green. The trails were gone, replaced by winding paths that shifted as I walked. I tried to speak, but no sound came out. I looked down and saw the mark, now covering my entire body, glowing faintly in the darkness. In the distance, I saw lights flickering between the trees. Not fireflies, but shadows that glided through the forest like living things. I wasn't a ranger anymore. I was one of them. And the forest wasn't just a place. It was a prison. A living, breathing entity that had claimed me as its own. Now, I wander its paths, watching and waiting, just as the shadows had watched me. When the next ranger arrives, I'll be there, standing at the edge of the tree line, waiting for them to break the rules. Because the forest never lets you leave. Join me as I dig deep into the dark secrets of park rangers that they definitely don't want you to know. John McAllister squinted at the dense, towering wall of evergreens that surrounded him, a solitary figure in the vastness of Washington State Park. His breath misted in the early morning chill, and the crunch of his boots on the damp earth was the only sound to break the silence. With a hand on his trusty belt radio, he checked in for the day. "McAllister here," he murmured into the device. The static crackled in response before his partner's voice, Rachel, came through with her usual enthusiasm.
"Good morning, Johnny. Anything interesting on the schedule day?"
John rubbed his stubbled jaw. "The usual. Trail maintenance, a couple of tourists reported some missing supplies. Oh, and keep an eye on the northern trailhead. A few more hikers claimed they had heard something strange last night." Rachel's tone shifted to concern.
"Not again."
John nodded, even though Rachel couldn't see him. "Yeah, not again." The reports of strange occurrences has been increasing, and the local townsfolk around the park had started talking about Bigfoot. It had been a joke at first, but now, with the missing child and the bruised and terrified witnesses, the laughter had turned to fearful whispers. John didn't believe in the supernatural. He was a man of facts and science, a seasoned park ranger who had seen it all. But the tracks he had found, massive, unidentifiable, and disturbingly human-like, had him questioning his beliefs. He continued on his patrol, the weight of his responsibilities heavier than the backpack slung on his shoulder. The forest remained quiet, almost eerily so, as if it was holding its breath, waiting for the next event to unfold. As John approached the northern trailhead, he heard the faint rustle of leaves underfoot, a sound that didn't quite match the gentle breeze. He paused, listening intently. The rustle grew louder, more deliberate. His heart skipped a beat as he realized it was coming from behind him. He spun around, his hand instinctively reaching for his bear spray. Through the curtain of ferns and towering trees, he caught a glimpse of something massive and dark moving swiftly through the underbrush. It was too large to be a bear, too silent to be a deer, and definitely not a hiker. John's mind raced as he fumbled for his radio. Rachel, I think we got a situation, he said, his voice quivering. I need backup. The rustling grew closer. Rachel's voice was a distant echo in his ear, but he could sense her concern.
Shh. On my way, John. Stay put and keep me updated.
He swallowed hard, his eyes glued to the spot where he had seen the creature. The forest was silent again, as if it had never been disturbed. But John knew better. The stillness was deceptive, a prelude to the chaos that was about to unravel. The creature's presence was palpable, a heavy, watching silence that seemed to press in on him from all sides. He took a step back, his hand still trembling on the bear spray. The forest floor was littered with snapped branches and trampled ferns, leading down the very trail that the missing child had taken. John's thoughts were a jumble of doubt and anxiety. What was he dealing with? Was it really Bigfoot? Or something else? His training told him to remain calm, to observe and report, but the primal fear that had been bred into humans since time immorally screamed at him to run. He took a deep breath, steeling himself.
This is Ranger McAllister. If you could hear me, please come out. We're here to help.
The silence stretched on, thick and tense. Then, a low, rumbling growl echoed through the trees, sending a shiver down John's spine. It was a sound that didn't belong in this serene park, a sound that seemed to come from the very earth beneath them. The rustling grew louder, closer. John's hand tightened on the radio. "Rachel," he whispered. "It's coming." Rachel's response was a jumble of static. John's heart thudded in his chest as the rustling grew into a crescendo. And then, with a suddenness that stole the breath from his lungs, the creature emerged from the shadows. It was nothing like John had ever seen before. It stood on two legs, but its towering frame was covered in a mottled fur that shimmered in the dappled sunlight. Its arms were long, ending with clawed hands, and its face. Its face was a nightmarish amalgamation of human and animal features, with eyes that bore into John's soul. The creature took a step towards him, and John's instincts screamed at him to run. But his duty as a park ranger held him firm. He was here to protect, not to flee. The standoff was taut, a battle of wills between man and beast? Or was it something more? John's hand hovered over the bear spray, ready to deploy it if necessary. The creature paused, as if sensing his fear, and then it took another step. Its massive chest rose and fell with each deep breath, sending a scent that was both earthly and musky. It was a creature of power and primal instinct. John's thoughts raced. Could he communicate with it? Was it a lost soul? A misunderstood creature driven to violence by fear or pain? Or was it a predator, seeking to claim more prey for the unsuspecting humans who dared to enter its domain? The creature tilted its head, studying John with an unsettling intensity. The eyes, so human-like, yet so alien, searched his, and John felt a strange connection, a spark of understanding that transcended language. He slowly lowered his hand from the bear spray, showing no threat.
I'm not here to harm you, he said, his voice steady despite his racing heart. We just want to keep people safe. For a moment, the creature remained still, and John dared to hope that he had made some sort of peaceful contact. But then, with the speed that defied its size, it lunged at him. John stumbled back, his hand reflexively reaching for his radio.
Rachel!
He shouted.
It's coming!
Rachel's voice was frantic in his ear.
John, what's happening?
John could only manage a strangled,
"Get help!"
before the creature was upon him, its claws swiping through the air with a sound like a whip cracking. He ducked and rolled, the claws narrowly missing his face. He scrambled to his feet, the bear spray now in his hand. He knew that this was his only chance. If he didn't act now, he might not get another. The creature paused, its breath hot and ragged, and John took aim. He had to make this count. One spray and he could incapacitate it, maybe get some answers. But as he pressed the button, the spray hissed uselessly into the air. Panic flooded John's veins as he realized the canister was empty. The creature took advantage of this momentary distraction, knocking the radio from his hand and sending it flying into the brush. Rachel's cries for him were lost to the wilderness. John's survival instincts took over. He turned and sprinted down the trail, his heart hammering in his chest. The creature's heavy footsteps pounded the ground behind him, sending shockwaves through the forest. He knew he couldn't outrun it, but he had to try. As he rounded a bend, a glint of metal caught his eye through the trees. A structure, hidden by the dense foliage, loomed before him. The rusty door of an old research facility stood ajar, the concrete walls overtaken by vines and moss. This building-like facility had been abandoned for years, a relic of a time when the government had conducted secret experiments in these woods. Things that were just rumors, but here it was. John didn't dare to look back, but he could hear the creature gaining on him. With a desperate burst of energy, he leaped through the doorway and into the dim interior of this facility. The stale air was thick with the scent of decay and secrets long buried. The corridor stretched before him, lined with rusted cages and dusty equipment. His flashlight beam danced over the peeling paint and faded labels that hinted at the horrors that had once been conducted here. He stumbled upon a control room, the ancient computers and monitors flickering with life, displaying images of the creature that pursued him. The walls were lined with documents and maps, all marked with the same cryptic symbols that he had seen etched into the trees near the attack sites. The creature was no mere beast. It was the result of a classified government project, one that had gone terribly awry. John's eyes fell upon a control panel, its buttons and levers covered in dust. With trembling hands, he wiped it clean and tried to make sense of the instruments. The creature was getting closer, its growls reverberating through the corridor. In a stroke of luck, he found a button labeled Emergency Lockdown. He slammed his palm down, and the facility sprang to life with a series of metallic clanks and hisses. The door slammed shut behind him, sealing him in the control room. The creature threw its massive weight against the door, the metal bending under the impact. John searched the room for anything that could help him, his eyes settling on a tattered binder labeled Subject Alpha. He flipped through the pages, heart racing, and read about the creature created for military purposes. It had been designed to be the ultimate soldier,
but something had gone wrong. The creature had escaped, and the project was buried along with the facility. The creature's roars grew more intense, the doors straining under its onslaught. John knew that he had to act fast. He found a map detailing the creature's containment area, with a secondary exit marked in red. It was his only hope. He sprinted through the facility, dodging falling debris and shattered glass. The creature's rage seemed to be fueling its strength, and John could feel the floor vibrating beneath his feet. He reached the exit, a heavy steel door, and pushed with all his might. The door groaned open, revealing a tunnel that led deeper into the mountain. He stumbled inside, slamming the door shut, and spun the locking wheel with a grunt. The creature's fists pounded on the metal in a cacophony of rage. John didn't dare look back as he descended into the earth. His flashlight beam bobbed over the damp, claustrophobic walls. The tunnel was a labyrinth, filled with echoes of his own frantic breathing and the muffled roars of the creature above. As he stumbled through the dark, his mind raced with the implications of what he had discovered. The government had created Bigfoot, and now it was his responsibility to contain it before it claimed more lives. The weight of his duty felt heavier than ever before. He emerged into a cavern, the air thick with the smell of damp earth and something else. Something feral. His light reflected off a set of glowing eyes, and John knew he had found the creature's lair. He had to be smart, to outthink the creature that had eluded capture for so long. The cavern was a maze of stalactites and stalagmites, with a large pool of water in the center. John could feel the creature's presence, but it was nowhere to be seen. He approached the water's edge, his light reflecting off the ripples. The glowing eyes grew closer, and he knew he was being watched. As he moved through the cavern, the walls began to change. They were no longer natural rock formations, but smooth concrete. Etched with the same cryptic symbols he had seen in the facility. The ground grew slick with something that looked suspiciously like oil, and the air was charged with electricity. John's heart sank as he stumbled into an underground lab, a hidden chamber beneath the earth. The space was vast, with rows of metal cages containing other things. Creatures that were once men, now twisted and unrecognizable, the results of unspeakable experiments. The lab was a testament to human hubris and cruelty. There were vats of bubbling liquid, charts detailing genetic modifications, and a wall lined with containment pods. The pods held the twisted, half-formed remnants of what looked like humans and animals fused together. The sight was enough to turn his stomach, and he had to remind himself to breathe. The pods hummed with life, and John could see shadows moving within. The failed experiments watched him with a mix of curiosity and malevolence. He knew he couldn't save them all, but he had to try. He approached the nearest pod, the creature inside reaching out with gnarled, desperate hands. John's hand hovered over the release mechanism, his mind racing. What would happen if he set these monsters free? Would they be grateful or attack him? He took a deep breath and made his decision. The pod hissed open, and the creature inside stumbled out, disoriented and snarling. The creature looked at him with a mix of confusion and anger. It was smaller than Bigfoot, but no less terrifying. John stepped back, raising his bear spray again. He had to find a way to communicate, to explain that he meant no harm. But as the creature took another step towards him, the earth trembled, and a roar echoed through the cavern.
The Bigfoot had found them. The creature in front of him froze, and John could see the fear in its eyes. It was a fear shared by all creatures who knew that something larger and more powerful was nearby. He knew that he had to act fast to get out of this place before it was too late. The Bigfoot crashed through the cavern entrance, sending rocks and dirt flying. The creature in front of him took off, and John had no choice but to follow. They moved through the lab, dodging the crumbling structures and debris. The Bigfoot was gaining on them, its roars growing louder. His mind was racing. How could he escape with this creature at his heels? The lab was a death trap, and the government would do anything to keep its secrets buried. He had to find a way to the surface, to expose the truth, and to get help for these poor souls trapped in the bowels of the earth. They bursted into a room that looked like a control center, all screens flickering with the images of the lab's chaos. The creature he had released had led him straight to the heart of the operation. The screens showed Bigfoot smashing through the corridors, the other experiments cowering in their cages. John spotted a lever on the far side of the room labeled Emergency Evacuation. It was his only hope. He dashed across the room, dodging swinging lights and falling equipment. His hand closed around the lever, and he pulled it with all of his might. The room was plunged into darkness, and the air was filled with the sound of alarms blaring. The creature beside him whimpered, and John could feel the panic rising. His hand fumbled in the dark for his radio, forgetting that he had dropped it outside when the Bigfoot first attacked, but he still had the one that was attached to his shirt. He pressed the button. "Rachel," he said into the static, "I need you to get the word out. This is bigger than just a wild animal attack. There's a government conspiracy down here, and we need to shut it down before it's too late." The creature grabbed his arm, pulling him back towards the tunnel. John didn't know if it was leading him to safety or to a grisly end, but he had no other choice. They ran together through the dark, the only sound the pounding of their feet and the distant echo of Rachel's voice over the radio. Then, as suddenly as the darkness had come, light flooded the cavern. Rachel's backup team had arrived, armed with tranquilizer guns. The creature froze, its eyes wide with terror and confusion. John threw his arms up, shouting for them to hold their fire. They approached cautiously, their lights bobbing through the dust. Rachel's voice called out to him.
"John, are you okay?"
John nodded, his heart in his throat. "I'm here," he croaked. "But we have to be careful. This isn't just a wild animal." The Bigfoot lumbered into view, its eyes wild with fear. Rachel's team took aim, but John stepped in front of them. "Don't," he shouted. "It's not what we thought." The creature looked at him, and for a moment, something in its gaze shifted. Recognition, perhaps? Rachel looked from John to the creature and back again, her expression unreadable. "What are you talking about?" John took a deep breath. "This isn't just a creature. It's a person, a product of human greed and ignorance." The Bigfoot let out a mournful howl, and the other creatures in the cages echoed in the distance. Rachel's team looked around, their faces a mix of horror and disbelief. One of them approached the creature, holding out a tranquilizer gun tentatively. John stepped closer. "No," he said firmly. "We're not going to harm it." Behind him, he glanced back at the control room, his eyes falling on a pile of documents that had been dislodged during their escape. He walked the people back there. He spotted a lab log, its pages yellowed and dog-eared. His heart sank as he read the chilling words. The government had intended to weaponize these creatures, to turn them into living, breathing weapons.
This Bigfoot took a step back, its eyes never leaving John's face. Rachel's team exchanged uneasy glances while they were inside this control room, the gravity of the situation weighing on them. John knew deep down that he had to make a choice. If he revealed the truth, he could save these innocent lives, but at what cost? The government would deny everything, discredit him, and the creatures would be destroyed. Or he could protect them, keep the secret, and risk letting the government continue their monstrous experiments. With trembling hands, he picked up the lab log, the weight of the decision heavy in his grip. He turned to Rachel, the flicker of emergency lights casting shadows across her face. "We just can't leave them here," he said. "We have to get them out." The team looked at each other, then back at John. They knew what he was asking of them. To go rogue, to betray their oaths for something that could never be proven. But they also knew that the creatures didn't deserve to live in cages, to be poked and prodded like lab rats. With a collective nod, they agreed. They would get the creatures to safety and expose the truth, no matter the cost. The plan was risky, but it was the only way. They had to move quickly and quietly, evading if the facility had security and find a way to free the captives without alerting their captors. Even though everything was overgrown and dusty, doesn't mean that nobody was still around. John led the way, the lab log clutched tightly into his hand, his heart racing with every step. The Bigfoot followed them, a silent sentinel as they moved through the shadowy corridors. The hybrid creatures watched them pass, their eyes filled with hope and desperation. John could feel the weight of their gazes, the unspoken pleas for freedom. They reached a large chamber, the heart of the facility. Here, the cages were filled with more of the twisted experiments, some too horrific to even look at. Rachel gagged, and one of the team members had to turn away. John's resolve hardened. This was the proof they needed, the evidence that would bring down the entire operation. He took out his phone and began taking pictures, the flashing illuminating the grisly scene. They had to move fast before they were discovered. But as he was about to leave, the Bigfoot stopped him with a gentle touch. It pointed to a cage in the corner, where a small, trembling figure huddled in the shadows. John's heart wrenched as he realized it was the missing child, his eyes wide with terror. With a whispered promise, John approached the cage, his hand shaking as he worked the lock. The child looked up at him with a mix of fear and hope, and John knew that no matter what happened next, he had made the right choice. The cage door swung open, and the child rushed into John's arms. He held him tightly, feeling the warmth of his body against his own, a stark contrast to the cold, unforgiving metal that had been their prison.
"We're getting you out of here," he whispered. "All of you."
The team moved quickly, freeing the other creatures and guiding them towards the exit. The Bigfoot stayed by John's side, its eyes never leaving the child. It was clear that it felt a kinship, a bond forged in the depths of their shared suffering. They reached the surface, the moon casting a silver glow over the treetops. The night air was cool and fresh, a stark contrast to the stale stench of the facility. John looked back at the others, his chest tight with a mix of relief and fear for what was to come. They had the evidence, and they had the child. Now all they had to do was to get to safety and tell the world the truth. But he knew it wouldn't be easy. The government would do anything to keep the truth from getting out. But they knew that they had to do the right thing, no matter the consequences. They needed to expose this. And they shall. You're not gonna believe what I saw today, Ranger Steve said, his voice crackling over the radio. His words were met with a chorus of static replies as his colleagues checked in. The sun had just begun to dip below the tree line, casting long shadows across the forest floor. The air was cool, hinting at the night's chill to come. Steve adjusted his pack and took a deep breath, filling his lungs with the scent of pine and earth. It was a typical end to a long day in the park, or so he thought. He had been called out for a missing 411 case, a type of search and rescue that had become all too familiar over the past few months. The name Missing 411 was derived from the unusually high number of people who had vanished recently in the Great Smoky Mountains without a trace. It was a strange pattern with no apparent connection between the disappearances and no signs of struggle or foul play. The group of rangers gathered around the map, their flashlights pulling together to form a single intense beam of light. They listened intently as Steve shared the details of his discovery. The clearing he had stumbled upon was small, nestled deep in the woods. It was a place that seemed to be untouched by time, a silent sanctuary hidden from the world's prying eyes. But the tranquility was shattered by what lay within. The stone structure at the center of the clearing was unlike anything any of them had ever seen. It was a circular formation of large ancient stones, each one covered in a thick layer of moss and vines. The stones were arranged in a perfect circle, standing tall and proud despite the centuries that had passed since their placement. The air around it hummed with an energy that was both soothing and eerie, a low rhythmic vibration that seemed to resonate with every living creature nearby. As they approached, the hum grew stronger. It was a sound that seemed to pulse with the very heartbeat of the forest, a melody that the trees and animals knew all too well. The rangers exchanged nervous glances, their boots crunching softly on the carpet of leaves as they drew closer. They could feel the power emanating from the stones, a force that was both ancient and alien. The moment they had reached the structure, they knew that this was no natural phenomenon. The teeth marks on the bones Steve had found were not from any wildlife they had recognized either. They were too precise, too deliberate. And now, standing before this enigmatic monument, they couldn't help but wonder if there was a connection. Was this place somehow linked to the missing persons cases since the bones were here? Was it a beacon, a trap, or a gateway to something beyond their understanding? The group split up, each taking a different section of the stone circle to investigate. The hum grew louder, the air thick with anticipation and dread. As they touched the cold, rough surfaces of the stones, they felt a sudden jolt, as if the structure itself was alive and aware of their presence. It was then that they heard the whispers, faint at first, but growing clearer with every passing moment. The voices spoke in a language none of them could understand, but the message was clear. They were not welcome here. The rangers paused, their flashlights flickering over the ancient carvings that adorned the stones. Each etching told a story of the world that existed long before their own, of creatures and rituals that were better left forgotten. These whispers grew louder, more insistent. They had stumbled upon something that defied explanation, something that had been hidden for a reason.
The tension between them was palpable, each of them feeling the weight of the unspoken decision. Should they proceed with their search, or retreat to the safety of their camp and leave the mysteries of the clearing untouched? As the debate grew heated, a sudden gust of wind swept through the trees, extinguishing their lights and plunging them into darkness. The whispers grew to a crescendo, and the forest fell silent. It was as if the very earth was holding its breath, waiting for their next move. When the lights flickered back on, Steve's eyes fell on a peculiar stone. It was slightly out of place, jutting out from the others in the circle. His hand reached out, almost as if its own accord, and felt along the edge of the rock. His heart skipped a beat as his fingers found a small indented button. With a deep breath, he pressed it, and the stone began to shift. The ranger stepped back, weapons at the ready, as a hidden compartment slid open, revealing a leather-bound journal nestled within. The book was old, its pages yellowed and brittle. The language was unfamiliar, but the intricate symbols and drawings spoke of a civilization long lost to time. Carefully, Steve pulled it out and held it up to the light. The pages were filled with meticulous entries, each one more cryptic than the last. His eyes scanned the ancient script, searching for any clue that could explain the bone-chilling aura that surrounded them. His heart raced as he found a passage with a series of dates, all marked with a symbol that resembled a cross between a star and a hand. The final entry was chillingly recent, detailing a prophecy of the Great Awakening. It spoke of an event that would shake the very fabric of the world, drawing in lost souls to appease a creature that dwelt within the very earth itself. The rangers exchanged looks of horror, the implications of their find weighing heavily upon them. The whispers grew to a fever pitch, and the ground beneath their feet began to tremble. It was clear that they had disturbed something that had slumbered for a millennia, his eyes widening with every new revelation. The journal spoke of rituals, of offerings, and of a time when the barriers between worlds grew thin. It was a warning, a grim portent of what was to come. And as the tremors grew stronger, it dawned on them that they had stumbled upon the epic center of the very event the journal had foretold. The whispers grew to a roar, and the earth split open before them. A gaping maw yawned in the center of the stone circle, revealing a chasm that descended into an abyss of darkness. The creature that lay dormant beneath the earth was stirring, drawn by the power of the ancient site and the scene of fresh prey. It was now or never. The rangers had to decide. Would they flee and leave the mystery unsolved, or stand their ground and face the unknown? The book grew warm in Steve's hands, and the strange symbols on its pages began to pulse with an otherworldly light. The air around the stone structure crackled with energy, and the trees swayed as if in a storm, though not a leaf was stirred by the wind. His colleagues' faces were pale with fear, but Steve felt an inexplicable urge to continue reading, to unravel the secrets that laid within. But the whispers grew louder, now a single unified voice that echoed through the clearing. The words were ancient, but the command was clear. Return what you have taken and leave this place. The rangers' heads snapped up, and they stared at each other, understanding the gravity of the situation. The creature below demanded the journal, and they knew that to resist would be to invite catastrophic. Reluctantly, Steve placed the book back into the stone compartment, his heart pounding in his chest. The moment that it clicked into place, the whispers ceased, and the tremors subsided. The ground beneath them steadied, and the air grew calm once more. The rangers backed away slowly, their flashlights dancing over the now silent stones. They had uncovered a truth that was both terrifying and awe-inspiring, a revelation that shook the very foundations of their reality. Their retreat was swift, the adrenaline coursing through their veins, propelling them back along the path they had so carefully picked their way through earlier. They didn't speak, each lost in their own thoughts about what they had just witnessed. As they reached the safety of their camp, they could feel the forest's watchful eyes upon them, a silent sentinel that had bore witness to the unfolding events. The night was quiet, almost eerily so, as they sat around the campfire, the flickering flames casting shadows on their faces. They shared their experiences, their voices hushed and trembling with the weight of what they had learned. The Great Smoky Mountains had revealed a secret that was both sacred and deadly. The journal spoke of a cycle, a time when the veil between worlds grew thin, and a creature of immense power would rise to claim its due. The whispers had been the voices of the lost souls, trapped in a limbo between life and whatever laid beyond the veil. And now, with the disturbance of the ancient site, that cycle was set into motion once again. The rangers knew they had to report their findings. But to whom? Would anyone believe their wild tale of ancient prophecies and monstrous beings? Even if they did, would it be enough to prevent the impending disaster? They were but a handful of guardians in a vast and mysterious wilderness, and the fate of the countless hikers and campers rested on their shoulders. As they sat in silence, the fire casting an orange glow upon the trees, they realized the true extent of their responsibility. They had stumbled into a narrative much larger than themselves, a story that had been playing out for millennia. And now, they were characters in a tale that would shape the very future of the park and all who dared to venture into its depths. The whispers had warned them, but they also had given them a mission. To protect the innocent, to prevent the prophecy from unfolding. They would have to delve deeper into the lure of the Great Smoky Mountains to seek out the truth hidden within its shadowy folds. For the sake of the missing and for the untold lives that had been affected, they would become the guardians of the unseen, the champions of a world that most would never know existed. The next morning, they rose early, their eyes heavy with lack of sleep, but their spirits resolute. They gathered their gear, each one casting a final, solemn look back at the map where they had marked the clearing. They knew that their lives had changed, that nothing would ever be the same. They were no longer just simple rangers. They had become the guardians of a secret that could shatter the very fabric of this world. They set out into the early dawn, their footsteps echoing through the quiet forest. The trees watched them go, the whispers of the lost souls trailing after them like a mournful lament. The search for answers had only just begun, and the dangers that laid ahead were as vast and as unknowable as the wilderness itself. But they had each other, and the knowledge that they were now a part of something much larger than their ordinary mission. The journal had contained a map, a series of cryptic symbols that pointed to locations scattered throughout the Great Smoky Mountains. It was clear that the ancient civilization had left a trail for those who were worthy or foolish enough to follow. The rangers split in the teams, each group taking a different path, driven by the newfound sense of purpose. They had to find the pieces of the artifact before this creature awoke fully and brought forth its wrath. The first few days were a blur of hiking and searching, each location more challenging than the last. They discovered hidden caves, submerged underwater caverns, and ancient burial grounds.
At each site, they found a piece of the artifact, carefully guarded by the spirits of the long dead. These whispers grew clearer, guiding them through the dense underbrush and over treacherous terrain. It was as if the very land itself was urging them on, whispering secrets of the past into their ears. The pieces they collected were unlike anything they had ever seen before. Shards of crystalline substance that hummed with an energy that seemed to resonate with the core of the earth. They could feel the power coursing through them, a force that was both exhilarating and terrifying. The prophecy spoke of a time when all the pieces would come together and the creature would be sealed away once more. But with every passing day, the tremors grew stronger, the whispers more insistent. The clock was ticking, and the creature was growing restless. The final piece was rumored to be hidden in the highest peak of the mountain range, a place so treacherous that even the most seasoned climbers avoided it. The rangers had to push themselves to their limits, fight against the harsh elements of their own fears. But as the whispers grew louder, more insistent, and they knew that they were close, they had to keep pressing on. The air was electric with anticipation as they approached the peak, the wind howling around them like the cries of the lost souls. The final piece laid at the top, nestled in a nest of bones, gleaming in the weak light that filtered through the clouds. Steve reached out, his heart pounding in his chest, and took a hold of it. The moment his skin made contact, the whisper stopped, and the world seemed to hold its breath. The rangers looked at each other, the weight of their responsibility heavy upon them. They had the artifact, but now they had the face, the creature, the embodiment of the ancient prophecy. The climb down was fraught with danger, the earth beneath them seeming to shake with every step. They could feel the creature's presence, a malevolent force that grew stronger with every beat of their hearts. These whispers in the wind had turned to roars, a cacophony of sounds that filled their heads and made their bones ache. The time had come to confront the beast, to use the power of the artifact to seal it away for good. The clearing was unchanged when they had returned, the stone circles standing tall and proud, untouched by the chaos that was building around it. The creature had not yet fully emerged, but the air was thick with its malicious intent. The rangers formed a tight circle, each one holding a piece of the artifact, their eyes locked onto the chasm that had opened up before them. They had come too far to turn back now, and the fate of the park and all who ventured there hung in the balance. With a deep breath, Steve recited the ancient incantation he had found in the journal, his voice strong and steady. The pieces of the artifact began to glow, their lights casting long, eerie shadows across the clearing. The ground trembled, and the creature below stirred, sensing the power that threatened its dominion over the mortal realm. The rangers braced themselves, ready to face whatever horrors lay beneath the earth. The earth split open, and the creature emerged. It was a thing of nightmares. A twisted amalgamation of rock and shadow, with eyes that burned like stars, and a mouth that could swallow a world. The rangers held their ground, their hearts pounding in unison as the creature loomed over them, its hunger palpable. With a final desperate act, Steve connected the last piece of the artifact, and the light grew blinding, washing over the creature and the clearing in a wave of pure, unbridled power. The creature roared, a sound that seemed to shake the very fabric of reality. But to their astonishment, it did not attack. Instead, the tremors grew more intense, and a deep, resonant voice that seemed to come from the earth itself spoke to them. The voice was ancient, powerful, and filled with a wisdom that bellied its monstrous form. It offered them a pact, A deal that could change everything they knew.
I am the guardian of the balance,
the creature intoned, its voice rumbling through the ground beneath their feet.
The Great Smoky Mountains are a nexus of power, and I am its protector. For eons, I have upheld the delicate equilibrium that separates your world from the abyss. But with each cycle, the veil weakens and my strength wanes.
The rangers looked at each other, their fear giving way to a newfound curiosity. They had assumed they were facing a mindless beast, but now they realized they were in the presence of an ancient sentient force that had witnessed the rise and fall of civilizations. The creature continued.
In exchange for your service, I will grant you the power to maintain the barrier that holds back the darkness. Together, we could preserve the balance, ensure that the Great Smoky Mountains remains a bastion of life and not the gateway to oblivion.
The terms of the pact were simple yet profound. They had become the new guardians of the Smoky Mountains, using the power of the artifact to keep the creature at bay and the veil between worlds intact. They would have to live in the park, forsaking their normal lives, and pass on the knowledge to others who were deemed worthy. The rangers looked at each other, the weight of this offer heavy in the air. The creature waited, its form pulsing with an otherworldly light that seemed to reflect the gravity of the decision before them. They had stumbled upon a role that was far beyond the original duty of a park ranger, but the fate of the world as they knew it now rested in their hands. They had to decide. Would they accept the ancient pact, forever tying their destinies to the whims of this enigmatic guardian? Or would they refuse, risking the wrath of this creature and the destruction of the very land they had sworn to protect? The decision was unanimous. With the collective nod, they stepped forward, their voices unwavering as they accepted the pact. The creature's eyes dimmed slightly, and the tremors ceased. The earth closed up around it once more, leaving no trace of the monstrous form that had just offered them a destiny beyond their wildest imaginations. The rangers stood in the clearing, the artifact now fully assembled in Steve's hands. The power that surged through it was immense, a force that made their very bones hum with energy. They had become the wardens of an ancient secret, the custodians of a world that existed just beyond the veil. With the pact sealed, they set to work. They built a new life in the park, constructing a hidden sanctuary where they could train and study. The whispers of the lost souls grew fainter as their balance was maintained, and the Great Smoky Mountains once again became a place of tranquility. But the knowledge of the prophecy remained a constant reminder of the shadows that loomed beneath the surface. Years passed, and the rangers grew old, but the power of the artifact never waned. They trained new recruits, passing on their knowledge and skills, ensuring that the pact would be upheld for generations to come. Each guardian learned the ancient incantations and the precise rituals that kept the creature at bay. The world outside the park continued to change, but within its borders, the guardians remained ever vigilant, ready to face whatever challenges the future might hold. The whispers grew faint, almost silent, and the cycle of the prophecy was forgotten by those who had not been privy to its secrets. But the guardians never forgot. They continued their work, their eyes always on the horizon, waiting for the day that the balance would again be threatened, and their duty would be tested. The Great Smoky Mountains remains a place of beauty and wonder, a testament to the unyielding spirit of nature. Yet beneath its serene surface, the guardians knew that a sleeping giant lay dormant, and it was their solemn duty to keep it that way. The pact had bound them to their land, and to each other.